Welcome to Shattering Myths, a program devoted to the most important and largest segment of society, to those who have come to realize that the world's religious, political, economic, academic, and media institutions are universally corrupt, and who are beginning to question their military, recognizing that all of these institutions are counterproductive and that they cannot be fixed. Our phone number, if you'd like to engage in this discussion anytime over the next 2 hours, is 877-376-45. Yesterday, we read that Russia was doing something that I have done now for the last year, blaming Kiev for the surge in fighting in the Ukraine. And Russia warned the West that any attempt to increase economic pressure on Moscow was not only blackmail, it was absolutely destructive. And it's not just destructive to Russia. It's destructive to Europe. It's destructive to sanity in the world, and that it compels Russia to engage more deeply with Iran, and that is the most destabilizing country in the world today. And because it creates tension and hatred between two military superpowers, and because it's misguided. Pro-Moscow separatists, backed by what NATO says are Russian troops, and by the way, there has not been any evidence whatsoever that Russian troops are in what is called the Ukraine. If they were, it would certainly be understandable. It would be like seeing American troops in Germany, seeing American troops in Japan, seeing American troops as they are stationed around the world. The Ukraine was part of Russia for several hundred years. The Ukraine was the place, particularly in the eastern Ukraine, where much of Russia's war equipment was manufactured. They would be supervising that. Most of those in Donetsk and Luhansk in the eastern region are ethnic Russians. They speak Russian. It would be natural to have Russians and Russian troops there. It's no crime. However, there's no indication they are there. And it talks about how the separatists have launched an offensive in southeastern Ukraine. But that's not true. What happened is that the thugs in Kiev militantly and by force of arms, Molotov cocktails and riots, ousted the popularly elected government with the encouragement and funding of the United States. Then with the encouragement and funding of the United States, the new regime in Kiev declared war on any Ukrainian that was loyal to Russia. And they perpetrated that war. And that what we're witnessing is an American-funded war that's become a civil war in the region of the Ukraine. And we find that Russia was the peacemaker, not the belligerent. America is the belligerent. Russia is the peacemaker. They formed a treaty between the disingenuous, dishonest, parasite regime in Kiev that America was funding, that America intends to make part of NATO, that America intends to put NATO and American troops within that country to antagonize Russia, that the Russians brought a peace, a treaty, a cessation of violence. But America couldn't handle that because they want a reenactment of the Cold War. And so we agitated and broke that peace by having the Ukrainian military bombard Donetsk and Luhansk. That peace then was further advanced by way of a Russian initiative, where the parliament in the Kiev regime acknowledged that Luhansk and Donetsk would have 2 years of absolute autonomy. And after agreeing to that, they then increased their military presence at the Donetsk airport. And from the Donetsk airport, they began to bombard the civilian population with artillery, with rockets, with mortars, with bombs, killing and wounding many thousands. And so the population of Donetsk, recognizing that the Kiev regime has completely ignored the terms and conditions of the autonomy proclamation and has gone back on the warpath, had enough, and they fought back. And for the longest time, the American-funded Kiev regime, with an air force with far more military equipment, prevailed. But about a week or two ago, the tide turned. And the tide really began to turn when the blows from the Kiev regime became so murderous that the population says, we just can't tolerate this anymore. And now they're driving the Kiev regime out of Donetsk. And, of course, America can't handle that, because their goal is for all of the Ukraine to join NATO and be a thorn in Russia's side. Kremlin spokesperson Dmitry Peskov once again said that Russia had no involvement in the fighting, and Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov accused the West of whipping up anti-Russian hysteria to justify extending economic sanctions against Moscow. He's telling the truth. It's not something that Americans want to hear, and most Americans are so indoctrinated with propaganda that they can't process that reality. But it is true. Quote, instead of increasing pressure on those who refuse to engage in dialogue and to resolve the conflict peacefully, we see renewed talks about blackmailing Russia economically, Peskov said. And that's true. I mean, this government in Kiev that is the result of the anarchy and rebellion is wholly and completely unwilling to engage in dialogue. Their first response is to use American weapons and American money, American intelligence, to attack Donetsk and Luhansk, and to blame the Russians for everything. They pass a bill and then don't honor it. They sign a treaty and then they don't honor it. All the folks in Luhansk and Donetsk want is to be left alone. You know, Kiev decided that they were going to have a coup, and they were going to replace the popularly elected government, and they were going to announce an allegiance with Europe and the United States as opposed to the long-held alliances with Russia. And the Russians and the Luhansk and Donetsk area, as well as Crimea, said, no, we don't want to be part of that. Part of the country changed. And they said, no, we don't want to follow you there. We're going to stay where we are. Russia never agreed with such threats, and such threats and blackmail have never led to anything that is positive and never will. That's true. You continue to treat a country like this, they will eventually have no recourse but to lash out, to fight back. Renewed threats of increased economic pressure on Russia are absolutely destructive, unjustified, and ultimately short-sighted. Lavrov said the separatists in Ukraine were responding to attacks by the government forces, and the only way forward was through direct dialogue and to get the government forces to stop attacking them. We see attempts to derail the peace process and attempts again and again by the Kiev leadership to solve the problem by using force to suppress the Southeast. These attempts lead nowhere except to death and destruction, Lavrov told a news conference. We haven't covered Ukraine in quite some time. But the Ukraine, like Greece, like was Cyprus, is a microcosm of what is to come. There will be anarchy. There will be civil war. There will be coups and all manner of societal disintegration. And that the ultimate ploy in all of this will be money. It was what initiated the Kiev revolt, this tug of war between the government of the Ukraine. The nation of the Ukraine was absolutely bankrupt. It had been the fifth or sixth time in 20 years that the nation had been bankrupt. And so its policies were not sustainable, and it required outside infusion of cash to keep from completely failing as a state. And it was getting that money from the International Monetary Fund, but wouldn't pay the loans back. It said, no, we're not going to pay them back. And then it got money from Russia, and it said it wouldn't pay that money back. Then it got the benefits of the transmission of Russian gas through the Ukraine and wouldn't pay for that they were siphoning off. And it went on and on. And finally, the West and the Russians collectively offered the Ukrainians between $15 and $25 billion. The Ukrainians chose the Western gift of money, and this has always been about money. It is the same tug of war that is now taking place in Greece. It's the same tug of war that took place in Cyprus. It is a microcosm of what's going to influence virtually every country on earth over the next 10 to 15 years. You're witnessing our future. We should pay attention.
Welcome back to Shattering Myths. I am Yada.
White House Chief of Staff Dennis McDonough said that U.S. leaders, now he's speaking, of course, of himself and of the Obaminator when he uses the term U.S. Leaders. He may be trying to include the American spy apparatus and the American destructive apparatus, the Department of Defense. But he says that U.S. leaders weren't surprised by the collapse of the government in Yemen. That's funny. They were absolutely taken by surprise. They had absolutely no indication that was going to occur. They were developing their relationships with the Yemenite government, making it more vulnerable by the very fact that the Yemenite government was allowing Americans to rocket into and out of Yemen to conduct missions, that the Yemenite government was allowing Americans to fly drones and kill its citizens, and that America was engaged in part of a civil war between Sunnis and Shiites in Yemen, and all of that was highly destructive to the Yemenite government. And it is part and parcel of what brought it down. And so if we were not surprised that the Yemenite government has fallen, we are clueless as to how the United States contributed to its fall. So one of two things are true. That we knew that it was going to fall. We're not surprised at all that it fell. After all, we know that we're responsible for its falling. And that makes us reprehensible in terms of interfering with other nations. We know that we brought it down. That's why we're not surprised that it's down. That's like the guy flipping the switch for power generation for an entire city. And he said, are you surprised that the city is without power? No, I flipped the switch. Either that or he's completely unaware of of the consequence of U.S. actions and is lying in regard to the surprise regarding those consequences. Those are your choices. This is a statement from the White House Chief of Staff. Ola Denny has to say, important counterterrorism efforts continue. McConnell said on CBS Face the Nation. There is no doubt about that, and we will continue to press that. It was the Shia that overturned the government. The only effective foe keeping the Shia in Yemen at bay were those engaged on behalf of AQAP, Al-Qaeda of the Arabian Peninsula. When America decided that we would use our drones to kill many hundreds of the members and participants in AQAP, we rid Yemen of the checks and balances that kept the Shiites at bay. But now that America's counterterrorism efforts against Sunni Muslims have empowered Shia Muslims to overturn the Yemenite government, all we can say is we're going to continue to attack the Sunnis. Gee, that worked out well. It's like America at its leadership level, among its spy gooks and military goons, that it has absolutely no understanding of Islam, does not understand the civil war that's being fought on a international basis now between Sunni and Shia Islam, that don't understand why Sunnis and Shias are at each other's throat, why they're killing each other, why they're vying for power from one another. Why the Sunnis opposed the Shia in Yemen, and why when America fiddled in Yemen's affairs and killed thousands, well, many hundreds there, thousands between there and Pakistan, but many hundreds of Sunni Islamists, jihadists in Yemen, it changed the balance of power, and the Shias overturned the government. I mean, it's as if we think that we can be opposed to Shiite Islam in Iran and yet side with the Iranians in Iraq, which is what we're doing, arming them. That we can go against the Sunni rebels in Syria and yet not be seen as supporting the Shiite regime of Assad in that same country. We're on both sides, arming both sides. Making a mess of things. White House Chief of Staff went on to bury himself further. He says, we will also continue to see that we have intelligence. Now, here's a guy that actually brought about the fall of a country because of his actions there and is now talking about intelligence. This is a guy that's absolutely clueless as to why Muslims are killing one another, why they're vying for power between Sunni and Shia. A man that's clueless to understand that we are fighting Sunni Islam with Al-Qaeda, but we're aiding Shia Islam in Syria and Iraq while we're trying to prevent Shia Islam from getting a nuclear bomb. And that we're arming both sides in this religious war between Sunni and Shia Islam. It's a government that's so screwed up from an intelligence point of view that it doesn't seem to understand that if you put sanctions on Russia because of affairs in the Ukraine, then you're going to put the Iranians in a position where they don't need to compromise on their nuclear ambitions. And that the only way to put Iran in a position where it has to compromise economically on its nuclear ambitions is to reward Russia economically for diminishing its economic ties to Iran. But we're not smart enough to figure that out. There is no intelligence in Washington, D.C. There's a wholesale lack of understanding. That's the problem. But he says we need to have the intelligence. We need to see the threats as they manifest. That is the second point. If you want to know the threat, read the Quran. You don't need to have a $1 trillion military and spy budget. Read the Quran. It's that simple. The third point is we will continue to work on the political situation because we know that Al-Qaeda hides in these dark, tumultuous situations to ply their trade. This was not an Al-Qaeda coup, moron. Every attack that Al-Qaeda of the Arabian Peninsula, not to be confused with the Al-Qaeda of bin Laden, they have nothing in common other than they're both Islamic, but no fraternal ties. One's not a franchise of the other. The only actions that they have engaged in the last 4 or 5 years of any material influence is fighting the Shias in Yemen. And it was the Shias in Yemen that overturned the government. This is not a result of Al-Qaeda plying their trade. It's a result of America plying its trade, which is to kill and to destroy, against Al-Qaeda, which was the opposition force to those who caused the government to fall. That's how far off we are as a country. Everything is upside down in Washington. We will continue to do that. Oh, great, great. And we will have nothing but anarchy around the world. And ultimately, we're going to need partners in the region to help us clean those spaces out. Clean them out of what? Of terrorists. Well, terrorism is a tactic. Of Al-Qaeda. Well, there's really no connection of any kind other than they're both Islamic between the Al-Qaeda that America used to fight the Soviet Union in Afghanistan and the Al-Qaeda of the Arabian Peninsula that is essentially an internet presence in Yemen. So who is he talking about rooting out? The best way to do that is strong leadership, and we will look to strong, transparent leadership. We will continue to look for that. You're going to have strong, transparent leadership in an Islamic country where there is no free press, where lying is considered a religious obligation, where there are no democracies, just variations of monarchies and military dictatorships combined with single-party ruses. We're going to look to independent, transparent leadership. Are you crazy? Where do you find that in the Islamic world? Where has that ever existed in the Islamic world? What an idiot. The resignation of pro-American President Abdul Rabu Mansour Hadi is a man that needed a few more names, and his government last week threatened to complicate American efforts to fight AQAP. No. Well, I guess in one sense, the only force that was effective at fighting AQAP was were the individuals, the Shiites, that took the government down. So I guess now we're going to side with the Shiite Islamists in Yemen. And if that's the case, since the Shiites are the ones that are the foes of AQAP in Yemen, why are we disappointed that the government fell? Was the government seen as being opposed to the very group that was protecting it from the group that overthrew it? Come on. I mean, it's hard to believe we're this stupid. President Obama-nator had held up Yemen as a model of American counterterrorism efforts with a light footprint focused on eliminating threats to the homeland. AQAP may have, and that's a really exaggerated, hypothetical may, have somehow motivated and equipped the underwear bomber who harmed no one but himself. That was the Christmas Day bomber over the Detroit area in an airplane that blew up his britches, set his britches on fire. There is evidence that Hassan, the Fort Hood Islamic jihadist and mass murderer, wrote to them, but there is no indication that they, in fact, none whatsoever, that they prepared him, equipped him, or inspired him. There really is no evidence that AQAP has perpetrated a successful terrorist attack in the United States. They're essentially, as it relates to the United States, a web presence. And so, I don't know what we think that we're doing in Yemen, and how we think that just because they've chosen the same name so that it lights up the search engines, is somehow a war that we're justified flying and invading other countries' airspace and killing our citizens, including theirs. But nonetheless, if that is the example that you want to uphold of counterterrorism efforts, and it brings down a government, and it doesn't make one American any safer than they previously were, in fact, it puts them at greater risk, good luck with that. You're going to need a really ignorant audience to make that case. Quote, Yemen has never been a perfect democracy or an island of stability. A perfect democracy, it's not a democracy. I mean, all of these countries that are Islamic that actually hold elections have only one party. I mean, Turkey, there's only one party in Turkey. I mean, Erdogan's Islamic party, you know, it's not only about 80% of the vote and 80% of the population, but any journalist for any other party is hunted down and imprisoned. Any activist for any other party is hunted down and imprisoned. And there's no democracy in the Islamic world. I mean, look at Egypt. We tried democracy one time in Egypt. They voted 70% in favor of the most fundamentalist Muslims, the Salaf Party and the Muslim Brotherhood. And then there was a military coup by a fundamental Islamist. And the fundamental Islamist has systematically outlawed all political parties. And he ran for election where he approved one person to run against him and then didn't even allow that one person to run a campaign. I mean, why are we talking about it's not a perfect democracy? It doesn't even approach a democracy. It doesn't even... Again, our rhetoric indicates that we are completely and utterly clueless. The alternative, quote, would be for us to play whack-a-mole every time there's a terrorist actor inside any given country to deploy U.S. troops, and that is not a sustainable strategy. Whack-a-mole. To play whack-a-mole. That's what he thinks the United States military is for, is to whack-a-mole. You know, play that game as a child. It's a carnival game, you know, that Chuck E. Cheese, I guess, would have that game. A little mole pops up from a wooden or plastic base, and you take a mallet hammer kind of a thing, and you know your goal is to whack the mole down before the mole just disappears into his hole. And if you can hit the mole before it disappears into his hole, you know your bells ring and stuff. Whack the mole. So we're playing that game, but it's life and death now. We're playing the game like it's a video game because we're using our drones to do it. So it's just like a video game, except people are actually dying by the thousands. And there's, like the game, there's no indication of a good mole or bad mole. Mole's life is irrelevant. The mole's motivations are irrelevant. Whether the mole has ever perpetrated any act or even planned an act that was harmful to America is irrelevant. The fact that whether the mole was an American citizen or a foreign citizen is irrelevant. It's just that the great mole eradicator, the abominator, decides which mole he doesn't like. And rather than whacking it with a cloth-covered hammer, he fires rockets at them from American Predator drone aircraft. Whack-a-mole. That's what America has become. We should be so proud. The White House Chief of Staff, the Obaminator's ringleader, McDonough, echoed Mr. Obama's argument Sunday, saying that the U.S. still has the correct strategy in Yemen and should stay the course. Yeah, let's just say you got this trait, you got the right strategy. You're killing people without due process, without indicting them, without convicting them, without trying them. You're killing people who have never harmed an American. You're invading another country's airspace and deploying missiles launched from Predator drones. You're manufacturing 100 enemy for every one you kill. You're killing as many innocent civilians as you are jihadists. You're essentially targeting people because they're being religious. And in so doing, you have brought down a government because you eliminated the ability of the one group of jihadists willing to oppose the Shia jihadists. And in the process, oops, the government fell. And you're saying that our strategy is correct and we're going to stay the course. That America's getting the Yemenite government to not have a conniption fit when we flew drones over their country and killed their citizens and ours, which is what brought them down, that's the right course. Well, I'm sure there'll be a lot of other Islamic governments standing in line to say, yeah, that's the course I want too. Can you come and mess up my country as well? Good job, America. In a separate interview on Face the Nation, the Senate Armed Services Committee Chairman John McClown, the Republican from Arizona, said that McDonough and the president, quote, have lost touch with reality. And John would know, because he's right there with him. He said that Iran poses a major threat, in part because they back the Houthi rebels in Yemen that have destabilized the government there. Well, that's true, John. The Iranians are the primary provocateur on behalf of the Shiites. But, John, that war that you love so much in Iraq, that war that you wanted to continue to fight in Iraq, all it did was give Iraq to Iran. Why can't you figure that connection out? It's that war in Iraq, the American invasion in Iraq that you were so bullish on, John, that created the Sunni via Shia war that has ravaged Iraq and now Syria. The Islamic State is an outgrowth, John, of your invasion that you so dearly loved of Iraq. Why can't you make that connection, John? Why can't you apologize to the American people for that? Why don't you tell us, John, that you've lost touch with reality? Quote, I did not hear Mr. McDonough articulate a strategy, except that we will fight against these people, which is nice to know, but when you look up at the map, the Iranians are on the march. AQAP and the ISIS in both Iraq and Syria are doing quite well. Good God, John! What on earth is wrong with you? Have you absolutely lost the few marbles that you had? I mean, I understand that you went to a college where they accept most anybody, no matter how stupid, that you're a graduate of Annapolis. And I understand at Annapolis, nobody thinks they're indoctrinated. And I understand that Annapolis, you were amongst the worst of a bad lot. And I understand that once you were given the opportunity to go fly America's toys, that you were reckless. But John, AQAP is Sunni. ISIS is Sunni. The Iranians are Shia. They're in opposition to each other. How in the world are you making the connection between the Iranians and the Hutus in Yemen and then unable to distinguish between the Iranians and Shiite Islam and AQAP and the Islamic State? Are you that ignorant, John? Good God, wake up. It's astonishing how foolish America's leaders have become. On both sides of the aisle, it does not matter. It's ridiculous. Walk away from them. Disassociate from them. They're morons.